I'm Sarah Gilseth.
I'm Andy Bates. Thursday morning on the Coffee Hour.
I checked the date.
I had to look at the date, what day of the week it is.
Just Thursday to make morning. Sure.
You know what you should do is you should pair your coffee blend with the day of the week. So that way, when you start your day and you know what coffee you're going to have for that day, and just do that every week. Of course, then you'd have to have, 7 different blends of coffee?
I mean, we have 4 right now, so that's really not a stretch.
Hashtag goals for 2018.
There you go. I'm good with coffee goals. I like my coffee.
Pastor Gillespie would be so proud.
He would be very proud.
It is the Coffee Hour Thursday morning. We have some great topics lined up for today.
We do. We do. Some really great stuff.
Yeah.
Hugging is one of them. We all need some hugs today.
Either you like the idea or you're running in the other direction. We'll talk about the biological benefits of hugs. We're going to talk with one of our pediatrician friends from the American College of Pediatricians. They had a recent blog post about that, so we'll catch up with them in the second half of the program.
Yes, we will. And our other topic first is our underwriter, Concordia University, Wisconsin, which we thank for their underwriting and support of the Coffee Hour. And we actually have a guest from Concordia University, Wisconsin with us.
Not just any guest.
A very special guest, actually. We have Gretchen Jameson, who is Senior Vice President of Strategy and University Affairs for CUW, on the phone with us. Welcome, Gretchen.
Good morning, Sarah and Andy. Boy, if I wasn't already awake, your opening tune and your banter and your discussion of coffee, I'm in. I'm so in. I'm awake. I'm ready.
Phew. That's
See,
good.
We're not sure which is caffeinated more, the opening music or Sarah.
That is a toss-up. I've already had a cup at home, so rocking and rolling.
So you like the lively music? Yeah, it was a fun selection. We enjoy that music. It wakes us up in the morning, too. That was our goal. Wake you up. And you're up nice and early. You've got some fun stuff going on this week. You've got some presentations to give today. But before we get to that, we have some fun stuff to talk about.
We do. Yeah. Yes. So Concordia University, Wisconsin, and Ann Arbor just recently went through a process that you're going to talk us through today. So tell us a little bit about this journey to understand what Concordia University means.
Absolutely, Sarah. So it's really been, first of all, thank you for having me on the show, and thank you for the opportunity to talk about this topic. You know, it's really been an interesting, about a year and a half process for Concordia University, Wisconsin, Ann Arbor to really deeply delve into our identity, who we are, and why that's necessary at this particular point in our history is really we're about 3.5-4 years into the merger between Concordia, Wisconsin, and Ann Arbor. And so from simply a kind of brand science of things, the theory of it, that's a pretty important moment in an organization's history mm-hmm. to be very clear about who you are and how you function together and to distill that into the organization in any number of ways, right? Both infrastructurally and then also obviously in our communications externally. And so that was one reason that really led us into this process to explore our brand identity. And that's really what brand is. Brand is identity, right? It's the kind of concise distillation of the promise that we make to our constituents broadly. And so it was just a good journey this last year and a half to hone in very clearly and very precisely on that message for Concordia.
And what did you find? How did you go about digging into uncovering or digging into this identity? And what did you find in that process?
Absolutely. So my background is actually in brand and strategy development. And so it really truly is a process. It's not as simple as, you know, just a new logo or a new catchphrase. It's truly a process of discovery and a university-wide dialogue, really. So leadership can sit in a room all day long and say, well, this is who we say we are, right? Mm-hmm. Right. But that all-too-important question, who do they say that we are, right? Who do they say we are? And so it was a process of conversation with students, hundreds of dialogue sessions with students of all ages, graduate and undergraduate, accelerated adult, our alumni base, our donor base, vendor partners, the community. And with that, it was kind of it's a long, drawn-out process that I won't bore you with, although I find it very exciting, of language analysis and textual analysis to see where there's language that's matching up with who we think we are in terms of our promise and how constituents experience us. And then honing in on what we call the brand archetype that kind of undergirds that identity, that personality. And so once that was distilled, we partnered up with a wonderful creative agency in Milwaukee that has a profound experience in higher ed, but also in faith-based higher education. And actually, this is kind of an off piece that's really interesting to me. Their lead principal and lead creative happens to be an LCMS Lutheran, which is not why we chose them, but oh my goodness, a creative Lutheran? What? So that was really great.
We like and creative Lutherans.
I love creative Lutherans. And so they worked with us to really bring this brand platform to life visually. And then it's a process of rolling that out with the community. So that's the kind of stage we're in right now.
What was the intent behind the process? Did you expect to come out with this slogan that has kind of taken hold?
Sure. You know, it's important when you develop a brand framework to give it language that allows it to click for folks, to make sense for people. And that's where things like logos and visuals and catchphrases are actually very important, more from a learning perspective, actually, with your constituent. Too often, unfortunately, groups start there. It's really where you kind of end when the process is done well. And so for us, we had a hunch about the DNA that ties Concordia together. And that hunch was borne out through the dialogue and the conversation. But what we really came to realize is that this idea of something unique and formational happening in the lives of young people, in the lives of our employees, of faculty and staff, as they encounter Christ Jesus at a Concordia campus, it's an uncommon thing. And by that, we don't mean necessarily big and ambitious and on a big stage. Your uncommon life can be very quiet, very simple. God has numerous possibilities in store for you. And our job at Concordia is not so much to, and you'll hear a lot of institutions say this, help you find your purpose, right? Or help, you know, that sort of ambitious language. Our job is really to be a platform where young people and not so young people can live into and discover the gifts and talents with which they've been uniquely created and to flourish in their lives of faith and leadership and in their home lives throughout their life.
We have, I want to share the video here in just a minute, or the voice tracks of the student from the video as well, so that you can hear from their perspective. But with just about a minute, what does it mean to be a Concordian today? What does this live uncommon mean today with just about a minute?
Absolutely. So the idea is that there is a something quite different about a Concordia student, something that sets them apart, that makes them uncommon. And that is that our ordinary selves are attached to the Word of God and connected to His promises. And that allows the Spirit to work through our students throughout their lives. And so our job is to be at that intersection, to help young people discover uniquely how God has formed them to flourish and to provide platform and runway for them to develop fully into that.
Outstanding. CUW.edu is the website to find out more. And you can actually, you got to see this video. I know we're going to share the audio for a bit, but you got to go to the website to see this video too,
really
get a perspective.
Well, Andy, there's actually a different video at CUAA.edu. They're the same but different. So I encourage your listeners to go to both.
The same but different. All
Fantastic.
Right, very good. Well, Gretchen, thanks so much for being our guest this morning. Gretchen Jameson, Senior Vice President of Strategy and University Affairs for Concordia University, Wisconsin. And let's not forget Concordia University Ann Arbor. Gretchen, thanks so much for being our guest on the Coffee Hour today.
My pleasure.
We're going to share some of the video from their website as well. It's excellent. Check it out. Here it is.
When did our measurement of success in life become so common? Because as unpopular as it might sound, God never intended for any of us to live a comfortable life. He intended for each of us to live each day with a higher purpose. To go outside our comfort zones and use our gifts and talents in the service of others. That's why He created each one of us uniquely, remarkably, to stand apart from the crowd, to live a life that's actually uncommon. Maybe that's why at Concordia University, our students have never been satisfied with simply fitting in and doing great things, but instead becoming great people. And why our education focuses on not only developing what you know, but who you are and who you were made to be. Passionate. Faithful. Courageous. Because living uncommon means living a you-first life in a me-first world, which isn't the easiest way. But at Concordia, it's the only way. After all, doesn't the world already have enough common? Concordia University. Live uncommon.
Coffee Hour in just a minute, right here on KFUO.